On Tuesday night, I joined with a community drumming group that I was put in touch with at Wyndham. Curiously enough, they happened to meet in the URC. And one of the drummers, a woman, has a terrific gift of having memorized many African drumming rhythms and was helping us to get the hang of just a few of them. To start with, I really struggled, having to work ever so hard to concentrate, when she suggested that I might be someone who is left-hand dominant. In other words, the hand that you naturally start off with. And it worked like magic when I changed hands. Later on, we were trying something, well, I thought it was rather complex. Again, I was trying to count the beats and force myself to play correctly, but it just wasn't working. It was a mess. When I shut my eyes and relaxed and just listened, I found myself drumming along almost without effort by sort of feeling the music. Today's encounter between a senior Pharisee, Nicodemus, and Jesus has a similar dynamic to it. Sometimes your own power of reason is just not enough. We need to listen to wisdom. And I think it will help at this point to know a little bit about the Pharisees. So this is what the Encyclopedia Britannica has to say about them. Whereas the priestly Sadducees taught that the written Torah was the only source of revelation, the Pharisees admitted the principle of evolution in the law. Men must use their reason in interpreting the Torah and applying it to contemporary problems. And rather than blindly follow the letter of the law, even if it conflicted with reason or conscience, the Pharisees harmonized the teaching of the Torah with their own ideas, or found their own ideas suggested or implied in it. They interpreted the law according to its spirit. Thus, Nicodemus was part of a group of scholars used to reasoning and thinking through the implications of the Jewish writings and teachings. And they were skilled at working out how to apply them. And it also sounds like Nicodemus was notable among them as Jesus addresses him as a great teacher in Israel. Now, I agree with the commentary on this passage in that I think Nicodemus had visited Jesus wanting to find out more. And this was motivated out of genuine inquiry rather than, as so many other encounters with Pharisees and Sadducees went, when they set questions to try and trap him. And the tone of the conversation is different too. Jesus, on this occasion, does not use parables, but gets straight to the point. And that begins with questioning Nicodemus's assumptions. As Reverend Judith Jones sets out in her commentary on the passage, and I'll quote, "Like a typical scholar, Nicodemus begins the conversation with a statement based on evidence. We know that Jesus is a teacher come from God. Well, how do we know? By observation, logic, and deduction. Jesus' signs provide convincing proof that God is with him. Though Nicodemus is not wrong in his conclusion, he's not right either. His perception is partial and incomplete." And Judith Jones continues, "Jesus' response to Nicodemus' open statement cuts straight to the heart of the matter. No one can see God's reign without being born again or from above. And the Greek word used, anothen, means both again and from above. And both senses are important here. Unless Nicodemus allows God to change his whole way of being in the world, he will not be able to perceive God at work. Now, there may be an entirely practical reason for Nicodemus visiting Jesus at night. Maybe he just didn't want anybody to notice him visiting this radical. But there is no mention of this, which leaves the question entirely open. And I think that there may be another reason why John notes that this visit happens in the dark. So much of John's gospel is about Jesus as light. Just think of the opening verses. And interestingly, the superb commentary on John's gospel by Leslie Newbegin is entitled, "The Light Has Come." I think that the darkness of the hour is used by John in writing this gospel as a metaphor for the lack of insight of Nicodemus, his inability to actually see who Jesus is. As we read in the passage, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." And through that little dramatized reading, Nicodemus famously misses the point. He's thinking literally when Jesus was talking of a spiritual rebirth. In this brief conversation, we too, in the here and now of today, are drawn into reflecting on one of the core aspects of the Christian faith. Nicodemus, clearly a very capable scholar, is coming at faith from the angle of something to be learned, studied, reasoned. So when the challenge about being born again, his first reaction is to try and puzzle out how something biologically impossible can actually happen. But the faith we share can't be discovered by just pure reasoning or logic. Basically, it can't be grasped by human effort alone. Yes, it can be explored and studied. Such an approach is essential. But that is not the starting point. What Jesus talks of is being open to experience. Rather than rely on your own resources, what you can do, the key to faith is to be open. Open enough to let the Holy Spirit change, renew your life. And that, of course, means a whole lot of trust too. And a certain letting go of your own ego to let it happen. And that is why scientific inquiry will never be able to conclusively prove the existence of God or that Jesus is God's son. This is because science seeks to answer different questions and in a different way from faith. But it also works the other way around too. If you want to know about how something works, ask a scientist. Why is a different question. And this is the key thing about Jesus. We believe that he is Emmanuel, God with us. At the heart of our faith is a person, not a book or a set of rules, but a person who lives, whose life can be experienced through our faith by the help of the Holy Spirit. Ours is a living faith based on experience. If we can trust enough, rather like a baby being born and being utterly dependent on its mother for its existence, if we can be open enough, then our spiritual rebirth will lead us into a lifetime of experience that will enable us to know who Jesus is. As such, our faith is not reliant on the intellectual capacity to reason through complex texts, or our ability to memorize lists of rules and questions. It has far, far more to do with who you are and who you can be in relation to Jesus. And Jesus showed time and time again that human rules of exclusion are of no consequence at all when it comes to being open to the Spirit. For God knows who you are on the inside as a person and calls you and welcomes you if you are willing to be open enough to say yes. And really mean it. Because giving our yes to Jesus and keeping that commitment will last a lifetime. And Jesus promises that this life will continue even beyond our biological lifespan. A life lived within the right relationship with our Creator God is what Jesus sought to restore. As verse 17 reminds us, God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour. The Greek word used here for saviour is sozo, which includes a meaning of rescue and healing and being made whole. The process of being born again from above is like being given new breath. It's like breathing in time with the wind of the Holy Spirit. And it's an idea that goes back to the very first creation story in Jesus, when God spoke, when God breathed creation into being. And God's creative breath speaks new life into us through the Holy Spirit that is as free and as elusive as the wind that whirls around us. This truly is such good news. You don't have to pass an exam to be a Christian. There are only two rules. Love God. And love your neighbour as yourself. And the gift that we receive is life. Life in all of its fullness, as energised and as free as the wind itself. To conclude, if you are in search of faith or answers to questions, yes, do go and look for Jesus, but don't. Go looking for empirical proof. Instead, open yourself, listen, and experience. And that experience can come in all sorts of ways, through prayer, even through study. But it's far more likely to come from the love and care of others who follow Jesus. For ours is a lived faith that depends on the source of all life, Jesus, who gave his life that we might truly live. As we continue to walk the way, may we do so guided, inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the Holy Spirit of Jesus, alive within us and accompanying us every step of the way, wherever your journey takes you this Lent. Amen.